Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Coming to you tonight for the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, where here at the Superstore, the summer clearance sales event continues. How about this deal? 2017 Jeep Patriot Latitude, high altitude. Only 8 left, by the way. $148 a month. Come on up and see us today. All the great deals, visit MonroeSuperstore.com. This show, as always, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Got a good show lined up for you tonight. The head coach of the Toledo Walleye, Dan Watson, will join us at 5:15 tonight. Dan's going to give us an update on the roster, the offseason signings, among other things. So, again, head coach of the Toledo Walleye, Dan Watson, at 5:15 tonight. Matt Markey, like he does every Wednesday night at 5:35. He is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor, had 3 stories of the Blade this week, like he does every week. His articles, of course, appear on Tuesday, Friday, and on Sunday. So Markey at 3:45, Watson at 5:15. By the way, tomorrow, Steve Junga, his preview for the high school football season, which gets underway this Friday, by the way. One game close to where I reside should be a good one. St. John's taking on Bedford High School. So high school football is upon us, starts up this weekend. So, again, Steve Junga, he is in the Toledo City League Athletic Hall of Fame. Only one of 4 writers ever to be enshrined there. So Steve will join us again tomorrow. Just a couple of notes. Well, it started with Otto Graham and the Cleveland Browns. And how about Brian Sipe and Bernie Kosar? And the Browns had some pretty good quarterbacks over the years. Lo and behold, then the revolving door, then the merry-go-round started with Ken Dorsey, Colt McCoy, Seneca Wallace, Brandon Whedon, Thad Lewis, Brian Hoyer, how about Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Austin Davis, Josh McGowan. Congratulations, Toledoan starting quarterback at least Friday for the Cleveland Browns. And normally what happens in that third preseason game, you are the starting quarterback on opening day when the Browns take on Pittsburgh. Hats off. So far, so good for DeShawn Kizer, who grew up not too far from here and, of course, went to Central Catholic, went on to play at Notre Dame. But out of Cleveland today, it looks like DeShawn Kizer has won the starting quarterback job with that big arm of his for the Cleveland Browns, and everybody, of course, in this area wishing him well. Other news out of Cleveland, I know Jim and Bob touched on this. Kyrie Irving goes to the Boston Celtics. Isaiah Thomas comes over along with some other players. Time will tell how that works out, but Kyrie Irving basically wanted to be the center of an offense, and he's going to get that opportunity with the Boston Celtics. I thought some pretty pointed comments, if you
read between the lines. Now, I don't know if a pointed comment can be read between the lines, but here's what I read. It was Brad Ausmus last night talking about the performance of Tigers starting pitcher Matt Boyd, who got completely lit up. And if you kind of read a couple of times what Brad Ausmus said, he goes, well, you know, number one, pretty soon you're a major league pitcher. You got to prove that you are, you know, ready to pitch at this level. You're ready to be a major leaguer. He said some other things as well, and it got me thinking a little bit right now. That is the first time that I think Brad Ausmus is kind of just sending a small shot across the bow to the Detroit Tigers management. Hey, listen, he goes, I know we're having a lousy season. Season basically is over. We're playing out the string. You're sending me pitchers like Matt Boyd to throw out there. Now, Boyd and Norris, of course, who are with the Mudhens, they came over in the deal that sent David Price to the Toronto Blue Jays. The other deal worked out pretty darn good. Cespedes, by the way, to the Mets for Michael Fulmer. But I think Brad Ausmus now might see the writing on the wall when all of a sudden, here as we approach the last month of the year, that you're just taking a little bit of a look and a little bit of a critique towards the pitching staff that he gets dealt on a daily basis. So, again, talk all you want about Boyd's performance last night, which was not good, but certainly Brad Ausmus, a guy at that point in time, you know, really just kind of taking a shot at the management, I think, for, you know, the pitching staff that he has been dealt. So, Ausmus, I think, getting a little bit vocal here about, again, his starting rotation and some of the other players that are basically in the Tigers organization. You know, where are we going with this? I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Robert Lee is this guy's name, play-by-play guy for ESPN, supposed to do the game in Virginia. And, you know, lo and behold, you got to move him to a William and Mary game because his name is Robert Lee. Come on. Are you kidding me? Is political correctness gone so far amok that this is exactly what people are thinking in their morning meetings in executive offices? You have to be kidding me. And how about this thing out with USC, the Trojans, the horse, Traveler? Same name as the horse, spelled different, that Robert E. Lee rode, so they're going to change the name of that as well. I mean, are you kidding me? Listen, a part of our history was guys going up the wall at Normandy. And think about the guys in those landing crafts. And we are sitting around here worried, front page news about a guy that his name, a common name, Robert Lee, has a broadcast assignment moved out of Virginia because his name is the same as Robert E. Lee, the general. You got to be kidding me. There's actually people sitting around in their morning meetings talking about this stuff. Absolutely ridiculous. Dan Watson coming up, head coach of the Toledo Walleye. After this time out, my name's Mike Miller. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. All our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line.
Sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. This is Drive Time, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, of course, the Detroit Lions. And as we always say, this is your Toledo sports leader, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Matt Markey coming up at 5:35 tonight. As I mentioned, Steve Junga tomorrow, kind of to kick off the high school football season. That gets underway as well. You start talking football, you know, in the same breath, all of a sudden hockey comes to the tip of your tongue. Joining us now, the head coach of the Toledo Walleye, Dan Watson. Hello, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks. Thanks for coming on. Great to hear your voice. I guess my most important question tonight, I'm sure you can get me a discount for the clothing line, Be Yourself Apparel, that Simone Denis is starting up. I'm not sure they have any in my size. They might be cut a little bit thin for me, but obviously you can get me a discount, right? Hello?
He's a smart man. He's a smart kid who, you know, obviously a good degree from Ferris. He's doing things outside of hockey as well.
No, he is. Great job. Again, I think we lost the coach there for a moment. Of course, my question was completely tongue-in-cheek. Any cauliflower ear yet? I know you guys this time of the year basically spend your day on the phone updating your roster, preparing for the season. Walleye, by the way, open up on the 21st of October at home against Quad City. Preseason exhibition schedule before that. Give us a little update. I know some of the guys that are going to be back. We saw those reports on the website and other places. Tyler Barnes, of course, is one. A.J. Jenks, Shane Birschbach. Tell me a little bit about what else is going on, who you're working on, and an early look at your roster.
Yeah, I think overall, I know we've announced a bunch of forwards, got names that people will be familiar with, some new names as well, and even on the back end, we have four defensemen announced, so obviously there will be some more defenseman announcements happening here shortly, but I like where the roster's at right now. It's certainly different, built differently than years past, but without giving up the identity of our speed and our puck possession and our offensive thinking. You know, we have guys that can move pucks on the back end, and we still have that scoring prowess up front with, you know, Birschbach, Jenks, and Barnes, like you mentioned, adding a Brassard, Hirschfeld, Crisp, Martin O'Connor, all those guys will contribute in some way. And we're going to be a deep team up front. And then on the back end, you've got Davis Van Dane, who had 30 points last year as a second-year pro, looking to get even better this year. And Simone Denis just announced today 55 points in 70 games as a rookie, so we're looking for him to continue his play as well. But you know how tough that can be as a second-year pro. Expectations are high, so we have to make sure that he continues to develop and grow in the right way.
Again, Dan Watson joins us, head coach of the Toledo Walleye. Hey, I'm familiar with Connor Crisp. He brings a little bit of an edge as well.
Yeah, he does. You know, that's something we're looking to do, and Brassard does as well. But Connor was a guy that we kind of pinpointed as we started playing Brampton 10 times last year. He was a guy that for some reason was a thorn in our side. He was always on top of players in terms of his coverage. He was always finishing his checks, and that's something potentially we missed last year. And so I thought that was one of our targets early on. He liked what Toledo was about. He obviously played against us enough to know what we're about. And I think he's going to be an addition that people will be really happy with. And the guys in the room are going to be happy with. I think he's a team first guy. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. But also he's looking for that American League chance to get back up to that American League. And we have to make sure that we're developing him the right way as well.
His uncle, by the way, Terry Crisp, won a couple of Stanley Cups, one with Calgary and one as a player with the Philadelphia Flyers. His nephew and longtime color commentator with the Nashville Predators as well. Dan Watson joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust, by the way. How about Between the Pipes? Give us an update there. And I know Detroit's very heavily involved in who's going to play goal for your team. And where's that stand at this juncture, Dan?
Yeah, they've got six goaltenders signed as of right now. And I think, you know, it doesn't take too many people to see that Mrazek and Howard would start in Detroit. Jared Carreau and Tommy McCollum, who they traded for, would probably be in Grand Rapids, which would then leave us with Pat Nagel and Maciej Michalski there. So I think it stacks up pretty well. We're very familiar with Pat Nagel. Obviously the record, I know we beat him out in the playoffs, but his record last year and over the last few years in our league proves he's one of the top-notch goalies. And then the young kid played in the OHL. Michalski played in the OHL for Mississauga. He went over to play in his native land for a few years, and now he's coming back to North America to give it a shot. And I've seen him now the last two development camps. And I think he's going to be one of the elite goaltenders in our league, one of the young elite goaltenders. So I'm excited about it, and obviously a lot of things can play out during camp, whether it's injuries, whether it's waivers, whatever the case may be. But as of today, I think those would be the two, and I'm excited about it.
In camp, again, Dan Watson joins us here on ESPN Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. How many guys would you start with, Dan, in camp, first day of camp?
Yeah, I think it's back to normal now because of last year in that World Cup. You know, the camps are running simultaneously, meaning Grand Rapids and ours, so we needed a bunch of tryout players to come in and help us out. this year, at the start of our camp, the American League camps will be winding up, so I think we'll have our players down. So I'm looking at, you know, under 25 players. That's my goal. I want guys who are going to be here right from day one. I know last year I had to make some trades and release some players that, you know, had worn Walleye jerseys before, who I acquired in the summertime, and I don't really want to do that. I really worked hard, and with my help and Andy Delmore's help, we did a good job identifying guys that could be here all year. And so any moves we make at camp will be tough ones. We will have some tryout guys just to make sure that, you know, when the going gets tough in January, February, early March, that we have guys that we identify can come up and help us out. So it's going to be a small camp. It's going to be very detailed because of all the new players, but looking forward to, you know, an exciting time here early October.
I don't know if I missed it again. Dan Watson joined as head coach of the Toledo Wild. Is Evan Rankin back? Is he committed one way or the other?
No, he's not. No, he's not as of today. So, you know, that's just an ongoing conversation, and we'll see where that lands.
Normally, I mean, I'm gonna guess yes, but I've been wrong before. Of course, had a great college career at Notre Dame and all-time leading scorer for the Toledo Walleye as well. Hey, listen, I know you're busy following your team on a daily basis. And Dan, listen, I witnessed firsthand. I know how hard you guys work this time of the year in the summer. It's really no time off. You're recruiting, beating the bushes, and there's something going on a daily basis. Anything I've missed from the league? Any realignments here? Same division? Do you like the schedule? An overall picture of this 2017-18 campaign? Happy with travel? What have you seen?
No, I think they've done a good job aligning the divisions now this year. Cincinnati joins us once again, so that rivalry will be there. I think we play about 65% of our games within the division, which is huge. I know last year I think we only had a total of 27 games out of 72, which isn't enough. So I like what they've done. I think they took into consideration everything from the year before. They did do the schedule, and then they made the announcement on divisions, but I know they had that in mind. So I like where it's at. Now, our schedule, we do have some tough travel where we will be getting into cities at 4, 5, 6 in the morning and having to play that same day at 2 p.m. in Brampton or at night, you know, around 7 o'clock. So I think when I broke down the schedule, we have 11 3-3s and 7, 4-5. So it is a tough task, but you know what? Everyone has to do it. So we just have to make sure, again, we take care of home ice. We want to make sure that Huntington Center is not a kind place for opponents to play. And we go on the road, it's making sure we play smart road hockey just like we have the past 3 years.
Dan, as always, listen, thanks for taking the time. Before you open up, like to have you back on. Appreciate it. Great hearing your voice, and thanks for the update.
All right. Thanks very much for having me on.
That's Dan Watson, head coach of the Toledo Walleye. They're getting cranked up, ready to go for this 2017-18 campaign. Sounds like he has the core of his team back. The one thing they wanted to address, talk to a number of people in the organization, had to get a little bit grittier, some more sandpaper there. A tough time of the year in the playoffs. A lot of teams are banged up, and teams that are very skilled, I've seen this on numerous occasions, teams that aren't as skilled are going to take a little bit of a run at you, and you better have some guys that answer the bell. And with Connor Crisp, I saw him in Erie, played the same team as maybe the best player in the NHL besides Sidney Crosby, and that was Connor McDavid for the Erie Otters. And Connor Crisp spent a little bit of time on Connor McDavid's line doing just that. A good skater, but finishes checks, plays a physical style, and again, especially in today's age of hockey, which has changed. Believe me, more emphasis on skill. I get it, but you still got to have a couple of guys in there, sandpaper type players. Hats off to Dan Watson. They should have another great run, this Toledo Walleye Club as well. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. My name's Mike Miller. Traffic and weather, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at SuperFitnessToledo.com. This show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Take a look, by the way, certified pre-owned vehicles on the website, MonroeSuperstore.com. A couple of great cars out there, great prices. Come on and see some of the great sales associates today. We're broadcasting from the showroom here at the Monroe Superstore. TAS Electronics update right around the corner with Kush. My name is Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. Coming to you tonight for the mothership, the showroom. Talk to Dan Watson, head coach of the Toledo Walleye. They open up October 21st at home. Camp right around the corner for the 2017-18 campaign. Steve Junga tomorrow night. We're going to get a little bit of a high school football preview. There's a guy that I got to tell you, for as long as I've been reading the Blade in high school sports, he has been there. And another guy that's been there for a while on various beats, but his latest and has done a wonderful job as its outdoor editor, Matt Markey, joins us now. He is, of course, brought to you by our friends at Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing's their passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard at Maumee for everything you need to fish for bass, walleye, anything else that swims. Hello, Mr. Markey. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine. How are you this evening?
Good. You know, Steve Jungas, I talked to him today for a little while. What a great run he's had with high school sports. And I ran into Steve out at the Marathon Classic, Matt. We got talking a little bit. Boy, kind of like where you've landed now with the outdoor section of the Toledo Blade. He's so content covering high school sports. And, you know, it just kind of, he said, I didn't really need the big league press boxes and this and that. A guy pretty comfortable for what he's doing.
He is, and I think he's also probably one of the most, underappreciated members of the media in the Toledo market. And I don't mean that in a bad way, that people don't respect him. I just don't think many people understand, you know, what he does and the length and the breadth of, Steve's field of knowledge. I mean, he's phenomenal in the amount of work he puts in and the contacts that he has and the way that he is so, has so much integrity in the way that he covers the high schools, and he treats, a junior running back at Northwood High School like he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, he really has done a phenomenal job with the high schools over the years, and the institutional knowledge that guy has is would just blow you away. I mean, he has so much respect, I think, among the coaches because they know that. But a lot of people that, read the paper or follow high schools probably don't know Steve Jungas has been doing that for at least a couple decades, and there's probably nobody that does it better.
No, no question. And he got talking about some of the coaches in the area and their history. You know, guys have been in it for 35, 40 years, and Steve started talking to me about some of their records and some that are going to retire. You're exactly right. An encyclopedia, the go-to guy for high school sports in this area. By the way, he said he'll be covering St. John's and Bedford High School on Friday night. Hey, Matt, I read your fishing report here. You better know what you're doing now, and you better know where to look for them because it's the time of the year where they're going deeper and they're harder to find and harder to catch.
They are. And Lake Erie, like any fishing lake or pond or stream, is a puzzle there waiting for you to solve it. And a lot of times, that's a puzzle that, the pieces change from day to day and sometimes from hour to hour. So, the really smart, the astute fishermen know that different times of year they're going to find the bigger walleyes in certain areas and at certain depths and performing, in a certain manner. And this is a time of year where a lot of those bigger fish are starting to get on the move to come back to the western end, where they'll spend the bulk of the winter and they'll stage for their spring spawning. But most of them have migrated, to the central and even to the eastern basins of the lake because they prefer that cooler water. So, fishermen that really, want to do well and that know the lake and that study it, they're aware of those kind of migratory patterns that are part of our lake's fish population. And, the yellow perch population is much more, resident, much more in tune to a certain area, and they'll stay there pretty much throughout. But the walleye have a lot more migratory, strain in them, and they'll, especially the bigger the fish, the more sensitive they are to the differences in the temperature. And when the western end gets up around 80 degrees water temperature like it does this time of year, those bigger fish are going to be somewhere where it's cooler.
You know, I was reading as well. I always go because I think I told you in the past. I spent some time on the Devils as a youngster. My aunt had a place up there and caught my share of bluegill and perch as well, even up there this time of the year. And the quote from your expert up on that lake, more miss than hit. You talk about the big ones, but even the panfish are tough this time of the year as well.
That's right. And John Zolke is a retired carryout owner from Toledo who lives on the lake, fishes every day, you know, during the season. And for him, that season is probably the 1st of April till sometime in the middle of November. And nobody knows it better. And I just spoke to him this afternoon for this week's report, and he's struggling a little bit finding the fish. Usually this time of year, those bigger bluegill will be in 18 to 22 feet of water. They'll be sitting right above the thermocline where they have enough oxygen, but they have cooler water. And he looks for them there, picks up a few, goes back into the shallower water, picks up a few, but hasn't really solved it right now. And even somebody like him who catches, you know, more than 1,000 bluegills a year is a little bit frustrated. So it's, you know, that's what makes it a challenge, but I also think that's part of what makes it fun. It's if it was real easy, you know, it wouldn't be nearly the sport that it is.
Yeah, no question about it. And I got to tell you, I'd love to get a hold of his recipe book for those bluegill. My favorite, by the way. I used to use the little Drake's batter and clean them as soon as we caught them. We lived up on Gull Lake near Kalamazoo for 8 years and became a pretty good bluegill fisherman, by the way. Hey, I read your story on Zach Biller here. Matt Markey joins us, brought to you by Jans and Netcraft. The show originating tonight from the Superstore, home of the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. And, you know, his friend there, Garrick Walker, said it all, that, you know, he's still trying to understand the loss of his friend Zach Biller, who committed suicide. And listen, I had a friend not too long ago, and you shake your head. You never know what people are thinking or what they're going through or some of the challenges, obviously serious ones that they're having. But I think it's a great idea that his dad is going to start a scholarship fund, and it's going to start with a fishing tournament, trying to get the experts involved exactly how to do it. But an outgoing guy that loved fishing, that you know, took his own life. There's a GoFundMe account, by the way, the Zachary Biller Memorial Scholarship. That's a way to donate to it. So on a heavy note, a tough story to read, but something like that, I guess it's possible if you try hard enough to get a positive out of it.
You can, and I think that was ultimately what his father was looking for. I mean, you, as a parent, you have just the torment and the anguish over the loss and the, you know, the lack of an explanation for it. I think we'd all, you know, probably spend the rest of our lives trying to understand or explain it and all, but Brad has decided that the best way to, you know, remember his son and the best way to kind of cherish that memory is to build something positive out of it. And so he wants to, you know, get this scholarship fund going, fund it a little bit with a fishing tournament, and then continue to offer these scholarships year after year to kids that are going to go into a field something remotely related to what interested his son, Zach. And so that's the outdoors. So it could be somebody who wants to be a forest ranger, a game warden, a biologist, anything of that nature. But Zach's name will be on that scholarship. And each time a brief little history, you know, about Zach, a little bio about him and what, you know, what things he enjoyed in life and so on.
Yeah, we just lost Matt Markey there, the Toledo Blade outdoor editor, rather abruptly, too. Sounded like maybe Matt lost his phone. Knowing him, he's someplace. He's out in the lake. He might be on a boat right now. He might be in waders in a stream. And his other article this week, another great cause. We talk about this, you know, on an annual basis. Visit partnersforcleanupstreams.org. Now, coming up right around the corner here, I'll get the date for you in a moment. But last year, 1,000 volunteers, 1,000 volunteers, 26, they collected 26,000 pounds of debris from 67 different sites along the 34 miles stretch of rivers in this area. They're getting together 8 a.m. Matt, welcome back. I was just talking about the mass cleanup effort and the debris that was picked up last year, and another great get-together with some folks that care about this area. Again, you've got me to appreciate it more. I know a lot of people already do, but somebody's got to do the dirty work, too, to take care of things.
They do, and that's one of those double-edged swords there, Mike, because it's nice that you can get 1,000 volunteers out there to, you know, give up some of their free time to help clean up those streams, but it's also somewhat sad that it's something that we have to do, because in a lot of cases, that trash and debris was either thrown in the river or discarded somewhere along the floodplain, and the river picked it up during high water. So I'm encouraged by the fact that so many people care and that they can, you know, get that kind of, you know, posse out there and really go after it, you know, on a Saturday. But it's a little bit discouraging that this is something we need to do repeatedly because of, you know, the amount of trash that ends up in our water. But that water is not only our drinking water, it's a source of recreation. It's a place where a lot of wildlife lives. So there's nothing positive that can come out of, you know, having all that debris in there. So anything that takes that out of there and kind of restores the river to a lot healthier situation is certainly a good thing.
I was hoping somebody would get a hold of that white-tailed buck, by the way, with all the fishing netting that's caught in his antlers there. And it was nice to read that they thought it was healthy and it's eating and it's not around his neck or its snout. But, boy, you still just would like to get a hold of him, get some scissors out and start cutting.
You would. And since that story ran and the photo ran, it's developed a little bit more, and I may have to do a follow-up on it now because it appears that someone along the river there on the Maumee side lost a hammock that they had in their backyard, and they think that might be the hammock that they lost. It looks a lot like a fishing net, and the person that took the picture said they thought it was a fishing net, but I could be sold on it being a hammock as well. And initially, a piece of it was around the deer's leg, but a couple folks were able to get that piece removed so it didn't hinder its movement or whatever, but the big buck didn't want to stand around too long, so they got away from those antlers. But it appears that it's not going to harm him, and I think either as he goes through, as we get closer to the rut, he will be rubbing those antlers on the trees and the saplings a lot more. Maybe it'll come off, maybe it'll just deteriorate, but at some point, I don't think it's harming him, and at some point, I think he'll be able to get rid of it, but it's one of those unusual things that you see. When you see the picture, you can't really believe it, but it's right there in front of you.
No, that's the first thing you gravitate to is the picture, and it looks a lot worse than what you documented. And I just feel like getting somebody that's got a tranquilizer gun, putting the old guy down for a half hour, get the knife out, and let's clean him up and let him go. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind as well. But you're right, double-edged sword. It's great that people are volunteering for the cleanup. While we lost you there, Matt, I said the website is partnersforcleanstreams.org. Maumee, is that EAOC.org to get involved with this. That's coming up this week?
That cleanup's in September. The registration is open, and they want to get as many people as they can signed up early so they can get the right number assigned to each area. So the cleanup takes place in September, but they open the registration early so they can be as organized as possible, and also they can kind of evenly distribute their cleanup troops.
What are you up to? Are you out in the field someplace today working?
I am. Sorry about that if the connection kind of goes in and out. But
I wasn't asking about the connection. Listen, I've been in live radio for a lot of years. I understand that happens. Doesn't bother me at all. I just got to get a little bit of a chuckle going. He's joining the show, and he's out working, tramping around somewhere. Where are you at?
Well, Ottawa National Wildlife Refuge is a big focus for me. Because of a study that's going on out there with the University of Toledo researchers, and there's some grad students from Auburn involved. They're taking a look at the wildlife in the refuge, specifically turtles, because we've done a lot of studies on what the algal bloom, how it affects people and our drinking water and so on, but there's been very little research done on what takes place with other wildlife and how the algal bloom affects them. So they're looking at the immune systems of these different turtles that live in the wildlife refuge to see if the algal bloom actually diminishes their immunity and their ability to resist different parasites and so on. So it's a it's pretty sciencey, and I like to use that word even though it's not a word, but it's also something that, you know, it's real pertinent topic since the algal bloom. This is the season, and we're all kind of watching it, and it does affect wildlife as well as people.
No doubt about that. Hey, you know, every time you say something, a vision kind of comes into my mind. My daughter's to this day, he was known as the Turtle Man, and I lived on a lake called Gull Lake. I think I mentioned this before, out by Kalamazoo and Battle Creek for a number of years. And a guy that owned an elevator company by the name of Rick Shields made a lot of money in his day installing elevators and all sorts of skyscrapers and so on and so forth. As soon as you said turtles, I'll never forget this. His hobby was, you know, turtles, a lot of them get hit by cars, especially
right
in the area where we lived. And he at one time, I want to say, Matt, had 15 to 20 that he was taking care of, casting, getting their shells back in shape, with gluing shelves, nursing them back to health, and getting them back in the wild. So algae's one thing, and I knew a guy that lived three doors from me that nursed them back after they got hit by a car. So that's my turtle story.
Well, there are people like that, and the more of them I run into, and the more of them I find and get to talk to, the more it restores my faith in humanity, because there's a lot of good souls out there like that, and it's nice that you got to know him. But he's, it just takes a little effort like that. Somebody with a commitment and a passion or whatever, that's all you need to really make a difference.
No doubt about it. All right, listen, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Get back to work. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor, out in the field someplace in this great area around the Great Lakes. Back to close it out after this. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller. Back after this.
06.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. We're going to have to get a hold of our boxing specialist for Drive Time, Bronco McCart. Probably will book him on Friday with this Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight coming out, where, again, Mayweather is a 5-1 favorite in that fight coming up. And a lot of the bookmakers out in Vegas a little bit nervous because all the money's going on Conor McGregor, 5-1, mainly because you can't win any money if you bet on Floyd Mayweather. So an upset there, they said they would get hurt pretty good if Conor McGregor, again, would beat Floyd Mayweather coming up in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Center. As I mentioned, Steve Junga will join us tomorrow. City League Hall of Famer, and he's a writer. And maybe, again, the most, knowledgeable writer for high school sports maybe in the area. I think closing in on 30 years, knows all the coaches, well-respected. His big pullout section came in the Toledo Blade today. So high school football is upon us. College football is upon us as well. And then, of course, right around the corner, hockey in the NFL. Lions, by the way, play the New England Patriots on Friday. I know that's a preseason game, but anytime that Tom Brady comes to town, it's always an event. What time's the pregame show? We're moving that pregame show Friday. Is that right, Jim?
That is correct. The Lions preseason game on Friday against New England, that'll be moved over to Talk Radio 100.7. That's due, of course, to the opening Friday night of high school football here on 106.5 The Ticket. The pregame time for the Lions, that'll be a 5 o'clock pregame time for the 7 o'clock kick the 7 o'clock kick over on Talk Radio 100.7. And then Bill Clark and the crew, first high school game of the year on Friday, Central Catholic at Bishop Hartley, 6:30 the coverage time. That'll be followed by the first episode of the Scoreboard Show. And one other program note for you, Mike. Tonight, we got some Major League Baseball for you. An interesting division leader interleague matchup, Washington Nationals in Houston to take on the Astros, 7:30 the coverage time for that one here on The Ticket.
No, that's a good selection there. I watched a little bit of MLB today, Jim, and they were talking about that game. Very, very interesting. Still some pressure. I read the Houston paper today about their general manager pulling the trigger to get Justin Verlander, especially after his last start. Great job, Jim. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow. Junga will join us at 5:15, probably Bronco on Friday. Maybe some high school football talk as well on Friday. Thanks for tuning in. Low Payment King drives this show. We're coming to you from the showroom. Our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. Mike Miller saying so long, and good night, everybody.